Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Outlander Season 8, Episode 4, Muskets, Liberty, and Sauerkraut.
These titles. I'm not sorry, but it's just so dumb and so contrived. Even in the context of the episode, this is a title that you clearly, you know, they came up with the title and then found a way to like make it fit with the program. And I'm not saying that doesn't occasionally happen with our drink choices, but we're not getting paid millions of dollars to do this as writers. So, you know, anyway, so we have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. Sure of it. There will be, spoilers for this show. We are in season 8 of Outlander. There are, of course, 7 other seasons, and we're already on, oh god, is it episode 4, really?
Yeah. We're halfway through what's out right now.
Oh, no. Because I keep hoping it's going to get better. Anyway, so we're going to spoil what we've seen. If you haven't watched this season yet, you're going to be hearing things you don't already know, theoretically, although there is a lot of recycled stuff here, so you may be hearing stuff you already know. And we are having something to drink. What do we have to drink, Dan?
We're having Saint-Germain elderflower liqueur and ginger ale.
And that should be a clue. I'm struggling today. A clue as to the reappearance of someone from season 3. That would be the Comte de Saint-Germain, but just you wait. This may be an appearance that you're not expecting, or a reference that you're not expecting. So yay. All right, you want to get started? I actually like this drink, by the way.
It is great.
So yay. That is a good thing.
Yeah. So I guess we can start with, there are so many subplots in this episode. I guess
it's harder. It really is harder. And none of them really come together or make any sense.
Not particularly. And Brianna needs to be... Okay, I guess we can start with Roger, I suppose. Yeah. Roger's the shortest. Then we can move on to Marcelly and Fergus. Then to the Greys and Brianna. And then Jamie and Claire, I guess.
Yeah, Jamie and Claire are the least interesting.
Oh, wait. I mean, we can do that first. I honestly forgot what they do in this episode.
It's not much. There's a whole thing with Mrs. Cunningham. So
actually, yeah, let's start with them first, because then the others are a little bit more.
Yeah, so Jamie and Claire.
Jamie has now decided, yeah, let's go get those guns from the militia in the Continental Army.
And we're gonna go to Savannah. They keep talking about Savannah.
It's Brianna and Roger.
Yeah, but Savannah, they talk about it being the closest place that they could get guns. And I'm thinking to myself, that can't be right. Because they're in the mountains of North Carolina. You got some big cities that are between where you are and Savannah. You've got, obviously, Wilmington, North Carolina is much closer to them. You've got Charleston, South Carolina, much closer to them. And then Savannah. So why would you be saying this is the closest place? I mean, is there some sort of... They talk about Savannah even being under blockade. So why would this be the place that you would choose? I don't know.
I guess it's just where the Continental... I think most of the reason is because of the specific general who's there is willing to part with some artillery and...
Or they think he is.
They've heard word that he is willing to part with some guns to help fuel the backcountry. And as long as he gets something in return, which would be the gold that Brianna and Roger are going to sneak in. And they sneak it in through sauerkraut. But yay, we'll talk about that. Like, that's not important. So
it
that's
really
not really
going to
be brought up again. It's just for the episode title. And so Jamie is going to do what he does basically every other season. And go out and try to recruit people. He's going to bring Josiah and he's going to bring Ian with him. It's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, and the reason for this, so he says that he's gone to collect the taxes from his tenants, or the rents from his tenants, which we didn't get to see. That would have been like a season 1 kind of callback thing. Didn't happen. We didn't get to see that. But he, as he does that, he realizes that many of his tenants are, in fact, as Cunningham identified, most of them are loyalists.
Yeah.
And he's like, shit, we are very much not loyalists. We need some moral support. So he is going to take Ian and what's his name?
Josiah.
Josiah.
Yeah. One of the twins. Husbands.
Yeah.
I still love that that's just in the background. Like, yeah, that's never brought up again.
No.
It might be because it was controversial, but like, I kind of love that for Lizzie.
Yeah, they mentioned that Lizzie has kids. But
yeah, she has two kids, one named Claire.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ian comes across someone who he thinks might be Robert Cameron, but no, it's actually William McKenzie.
Oh, the bane of my existence. Poor Natalie is so unhappy.
Who is returning Roger's book that has all of the time travel shit in it and says Rob Cameron won't be bothering them anymore, which is so boring. Why is that the resolution
of that storyline? Yeah.
That's so annoying.
Because we want to switch to the Cunninghams being
part about yes. Rob Cameron still potentially being out there and knowing how to go back in time is that it could happen at any time. Like, you can have a dry spell in the middle of a season where you don't know what to do. This is from a writer's perspective, but like, you could just bring Rob Cameron back and he could threaten the family in some way.
Yeah, easy. I mean, it's not like Rob Cameron couldn't have figured out, all right, I need a jewel. I know what year to go to, and they're in North Carolina. I got this. I mean, it's not like taking the book is really the big element here. Unless William McKenzie killed him, which is not what he says. He's like, he won't be a problem anymore. Well, it's like, it implies something, but we all know this is Outlander. Unless you actually see someone die, they are not dead.
Yeah, I also just like, I hate, okay. So what the fuck happened in between the end of season 7 and now? Because why didn't he just go with them to this time, back to his time?
No idea. Like, and it makes no sense.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, and how is it that, like, did he go back to the 70s, kill Rob Cameron, get the book? And I mean, it's just
confusing parts. Like, how did he go back? Like, why, first of all, why did he go back? Did he come across Rob Cameron in this time and took care of him or something?
Yeah, the 1730s or whatever that
like,
was.
Tell me. They didn't tell me. And
no.
He reunited with the kids, with Jemmy and Mandy, but he didn't reunite with Brianna and Roger?
No.
Because they haven't gotten back yet. So I'm assuming we'll find out once the other grown-ups show up.
Yeah,
but like,
still, it's like,
the fuck are you talking about? That makes no fucking sense.
Makes no fucking sense.
Claire talks to Fanny about Jane. Basically, she's just kind of fishing for information about her lost granddaughter and daughter.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure it out because apparently Jane spoke French. And because she says Molchori. Like there are people I know Molchori, and I never took a year of French.
Yeah, exactly.
I never took a single class of French, and I know Molchori. Like, it's not difficult.
Oh, my mother called me Mon Cherie. It's like, Mon Cherie is like my friend or something, or my love.
No, she said, her sister said it to her.
Yeah, but exactly. And that's because mom called her that, is what she said. But it's kind of like, my love, whatever.
That's not as weird. But it's also like, it's just further proof to Claire. Oh, she spoke French. She must have lived in Paris. And that
she must be Faith.
She must be Faith. I would give anything if it wasn't Faith. That would be so funny. Mrs. Cunningham shows up, and it is Mrs. Cunningham. So we were confused because they said Cunning.
Yeah, they said that multiple times.
Many times. And I could have sworn they never said Cunningham
they
to
did
her. and maybe that's me gaslighting myself into thinking I'm right.
No, I was equally confused, but they did refer to her as being the captain's mother. And I was like, well, they should have the same.
I had forgotten about that element. Yeah, she is Captain Cunningham's mother, and Captain Cunningham at this point has basically told Jamie, I want to know if you're going to help me with this loyalist militia or not, and so Jamie ran away.
And again, he'll go find other people. Loyalist militia? I gotta think
I'll be
that.
Right back. and then doesn't come back for a while. And Captain Cunningham is feeling really anxious about that, but we'll talk about him in a second. His mother dislocated her shoulder, and
yeah, she says that she fell like on a coal scuttle or something. Again, there's something suspicious about it, but she has to have her shoulder relocated, and Fanny helps Claire with that. They let her drink some alcohol, and she is much more like uncharacteristically based on what we've seen of her before. She's cursing. She's talking about, oh, I grew up or I lived with one of my husbands who was in with soldiers a lot. I
My
know how this
first is some
goes.
of the sailor.
Yeah, it's like, so, 'cause, but she said soldiers in the first part of the discussion, like that when she was talking about how she would curse, and that was the night before. The next morning, she talks about her husband was a sailor. It's like,
No, she had multiple husbands.
yeah, but she doesn't say which one. It's suspicious to me because it's inconsistent, right? And she doesn't refer to one being different from the other. And it just, I feel like she's doing secret squirrel shit,
Squirrel shit.
as they do. And
Yeah, me
it may
too.
be that her horrible son, like, dislocated her shoulder, you know, stuff.
See, I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking that she is telling the truth. She had so many past lives with like different husbands that it kind of just fell apart or whatever, or were confused. But
We're confused. Why?
we
Because
are
they aren't
confused.
telling us shit.
It's true, but I think that she might actually, she's the one who comes off as the most strict and the most awful. She slapped a child in her first scene and all that stuff, but she's going to be the more rational one out of her and her son. I
Possible.
think that's what they're trying to set up.
Possible. Her son does come to get her the next morning.
And it's just like, where's your husband? Where's your husband? And it's
Yeah,
like,
why hasn't he
okay.
come and joined up with my loyalist
Because she's
militia?
out of town. Like, you've got to calm
Well,
down,
where is he?
man.
What's he doing? He wants to know
He's
all
very
these things.
suspicious, and obviously for good reason, but we don't really care about that.
No.
So he is just all passive aggressive and weird.
No,
And
he's
Claire's like,
aggressive aggressive.
I'm not putting up with your shit. Get out of my house.
Yeah. Bye. And
Meanwhile,
his mom kind of like is like, okay, we'll go. So.
And so Ian comes back, and Rachel at this point has seen a newspaper that is detailing a massacre that has occurred recently up north. So
Involving the money.
essentially, yes. So essentially, the Mohawk and British, I believe,
Yes.
they attacked Continental Army camps, and the Continental Army decided to strike back on Mohawk villages. And so there's been a massacre up north, and including an area where Ian's first wife and child
Maybe.
are.
Yes.
And so he freaks out, and Rachel's also very concerned about this. She's the one who like feels really, really sad about it as well at first, and it's clear how empathetic she is. And
Yeah.
she
She's upset about it, and then she realizes, like, ooh, he's gonna wanna go. I need to make sure
so
that
her and
I.
her newborn child are going to be going on this 6-month journey up north.
Well, right, but she has good reasons. And she says to Claire,
Where we're going.
she's like, would you let your husband go see his first wife and child by himself? I don't think
And
so.
also the danger of like him going in the first place of to a place where a massacre was. Like, I mean, it's rational for her to do that, but it
Absolutely.
still, as far as timing is concerned, sucks ass. But
Yeah, but Jamie also tasks Ian, like, look, while you, there are a couple things that you need to keep in mind. One, I need for you to check on some stuff in Philadelphia. And I can't remember exactly
I
what
was
he
about to
was
say,
supposed to do.
I did not catch any of
He's
that.
supposed to check. He wants Ian to check on some things in Philadelphia, and I will check my notes in a second. But also, like, hey, Frank's book that where he says I'm gonna die, that battle on King's Mountain is supposed to be a year from October, and Ian's like,
I'll be here.
I'll be here. I will take my father's place and guard you on your left. It was the
That's very
sweetest,
sweet.
sweetest, sweetest thing.
That is very
Oh, I
sweet.
love that so much. But yeah, that's just
All right,
awesome.
so let's do Roger really quickly. Roger went with Brianna, but he and Brianna split up while in Savannah. He's going to go to the Continental Army, bring them the gold, try to get the muskets. They tell Marcelly and Fergus, hey, can we stash these at your house, like, as they trickle in? Because they're not going to have, like, a whole big shipment of guns. And I think that's very smart of them to consider that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just not going to have all these guns on hand. It will probably, like, just come in gradually, and then we'll pick them up en masse.
Yeah.
And so they have that plan. I don't know how they're going to, I guess they'll just use Lord John Grey again to get inside, but yeah, whatever.
One of the things that I have got to point out about this, we are based in Savannah. Savannah does not look anything like it's being
the camp in. That they stopped.
Yeah, it's in. Like there are all these large hills. I'm like, large hills here.
There are large hills in Georgia, just not in Savannah.
Yeah, it's
Savannah
North Georgia
is
has
like that. The lowest, like
flat marshland.
If you think of Denver as the Mile High City, we are like the mile below city because exactly. We are as close to water level as possible.
And part of what is here is below sea level, so it's like, yes.
And
this
so
is not real.
We're also right by a river, and like it's so you're not going to see many hills, at least not in Savannah. So
well, and also the foliage is different. The foliage is more, North Georgia-y or North Carolina-y.
Yeah.
So a lot of this is kind of like not.
You just found a river, and we're like, yeah, Savannah.
It's just like, okay, there's a river in Savannah, sure. And it's actually what they're showing is a river is much smaller than the Savannah River actually is, narrower. So it's like,
I mean, we're picky because we're from here, and so we're going to be picky about if you are like, as soon as they said, oh, Savannah is next. We didn't mention this in the first episode because it wasn't really relevant because what they showed was a harbor. And it's like, okay, yeah,
we had a harbor. We have a harbor.
But as soon as they showed the camp that Roger goes to where it's hilly and shit, I'm like, nah.
No, definitely not.
So Roger goes and he's like, hey, General, can we please have some guns, please? And the General reads the note that Jamie wrote for him.
And he's like, Jamie Frazier?
You mean the guy who resigned from the army? He wants guns now? It's just like, you know what? Fair enough. When you put it like that. Obviously, they were extenuating
his family first.
Yeah, there were extenuating circumstances, obviously. Like, but we know that, and Roger tries to explain them. But
the General has a point. It's like every man here would rather be with his family.
Yeah,
And you know that's not,
and that was his choice, leaving the army and not being able to defend his family. That's his problem. So Roger's just like, oh shit, all right, well, we're not going to get any guns. And he's like, all right, I guess I'll go back to Bree. However, the General's like, no, you're not allowed to leave because we are not allowing anyone to leave who comes in now, because then you could get word to the British that we're coming.
Yeah.
Which is a very smart tactic. It's like, as annoying as it is, it's like, it makes sense.
Right. And he's like, we're about to attack the city. And finally, like, in the end, Roger's kind of like, well, I'm not very good with a rifle. True. I mean, Brianna is.
But he's good, fine with a sword.
I'm fine with a sword. If you want, you know, I'll fight with you.
And that's
because I guess he's trying to prove something. So, yeah.
It's interesting that it's, and maybe this will be brought up later, but it's interesting that there is no mention of the last time he was in battle, he got hanged and shit.
Yeah,
but,
he's got some issues, for sure.
He should have some PTSD issues with that. But it's his first time back in the past, really. Like doing battle in a while, so it's interesting.
We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's talk about Fergus and Marcelly.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird.
So Fergus and Marcelly, they are hosting Brianna and Roger. Well, kind of. They are.
It's cute because you get some callbacks to things like them liking to drink whiskey together and stuff. I mean, that's not the best thing about Fergus. But Fergus is like, oh, I haven't had stuff in a while. And they had hidden some of Jamie's whiskey in the sauerkraut as well.
Yeah.
These sauerkraut things are not big enough to hide a lot of the stuff they're claiming that they hid in there. So it's a little, okay.
It's a large barrel, but you know.
Yeah.
Either way, they agree, Fergus and Marcelly agree to allow them to stash the guns if they get them at their house until they are able to pick them up, which is very brave of them, but it's not very surprising as considering that Fergus is currently doing seditious papers in a secret cave, it's a little drawer.
yeah, yeah, no, he's hiding them in the wall, but it part of what's happening is really kind of unclear is that because they're trying to publish in a very neutral way, at least the paper that they're trying to publish is very neutral. Mm-hmm. They've been having a lot of people like break their windows and, you know,
from either side, not even about this, even the seditious stuff, because they do keep that on the down low, but
It could be anybody. They've pissed off everyone. And so they're being attacked because, or not attacked, but vandalized because of the fact that they're publishing in kind of a factual, neutral kind of way. And that's, you know, something that they just accept as part of the role of being a printer, I guess, in that time.
Yeah. But Fergus has gotten the letter from Lord John Grey, as promised by his relative lover,
Beauchamp.
And he has gotten the letter, and he's like, all right, I guess I'll go, even though Lord John Grey has warned him, hey, don't trust him exactly. But he goes anyway. And he discusses with Beauchamp. Sorry, I don't know. I say Beauchamp and Beauchamp right. in one.
Yep.
Essentially, what
Beauchamp
he says is that Fergus is a he's not a bastard actually, but he is the son of Le Comte de Saint-Germain. And this woman that he knew in the brothel. And she forced Saint-Germain to have a legal marriage certificate with her before letting him into her bed, which is a crazy thing for Saint-Germain to just, like, have happen. I guess she must have been gorgeous. And well, she really wanted in her pants, I guess.
So, according to Beauchamp, the woman... her name was what, Amelie. So she was the older sister of Beauchamp's wife.
Yes.
So she is nobility. And so before she slept with Saint-Germain, she's like, well, you know, you're going to marry me and you're going to make my child legal and blah, blah, blah. And
no, that still stands. Even it's still crazy.
Yeah. But what happens is he gets... This is what's weird, is like he must have gotten tired of her. This is the explanation that Beauchamp makes. Got tired of Amelie and sold her to a brothel. Like she would stay, like she didn't have money. Like that's
but she was disowned, I think, by her family at that point.
For going with Saint-Germain because he's a shithead. Plausible.
Or that she had a fall from grace in general. Maybe. And so we find out a little bit more about that later, but Fergus is just like, what the fuck? What?
But the whole reason Beauchamp is interested is that his relatives and his interests want to buy property owned by the estate of Saint-Germain, because we all know Saint-Germain died.
Yes.
We actually saw screen. Yeah, we saw it on screen like 20 years ago.
That was literally 20 years ago. How have they not done this by now?
Well, so supposedly the solicitor for whom Beauchamp was working is the one who traced everything to Fergus, and so, or Claudel as he refers to him, and he is like, hey, you know, if you claim your inheritance and sign everything over to my friends, you'll get lots and lots of money. And as he specifically
wants land in the Northwest to start a French colony.
Yeah, a French colony in the New World. So, you know, Fergus has much skepticism.
As he should.
He's like, this man is a whore. It's like, yes, he is.
Like, well, he just wants you to sell him some land. What? It's not like you're going to use it. And then he's just like, but I still don't really trust him. And it's like, fair. Yeah. And also after learning all that, yes, you learned that from him. You can do whatever you want with it at this right. point.
Once you don't have to
sign. But he also is hesitant to sign because he doesn't want to acknowledge that Saint-Germain is his father, because Saint-Germain was a dickhead. And he also discusses the fact that he knew Amelie, who in the brothel, and she never liked him. She liked him the least, actually, because he has now figured out she blamed him for her circumstances. And
fantastic. And so when she died, she died from brothel fever. No,
yes, it's a very similar thing to jail fever. Like, yeah. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, she died from brothel fever. But right before she died, she called Fergus in, and she'd like never been nice, like spoken to him really much before, called him in and said, "Be a good boy." And he's like, "What the fuck?"
Good
At the
question.
time, so he kind of ignored it, which,
Yeah, but now it means something different to him. But he also says at the end of this conversation that he's already the son of a great man and he does not want to discount that. And so he will always think of Jamie as his father,
yeah,
which is very sweet.
that is very sweet.
But this isn't, how do you feel about this revelation? Because I am of two minds about it. First of all, I'm glad that Fergus is being brought back into the fold in some way. I do think it's kind of dumb because why wasn't this addressed like years ago? I think that could have been an interesting thing of like they learned this back in season two that that's who he was, or like there was some moment between Saoirse Ronan and Fergus or something while he was still alive. But there wasn't. And I feel like it just wasn't really built up to. It was just like, oh yeah, remember that one French guy that we had as a it's much like Star Wars.
Lots of
Remember the only
convenience.
other major French character that we had? Yeah,
Yes.
he's your father. It's like the one French guy we had. And yes, he's a villain, but like at least he's, there,
Let's
I
keep it
suppose.
all in the universe we're familiar with. I feel like there's a lot of plot convenience going on here, and I don't trust a lot of it, and I'm deeply skeptical of the story being told by the solicitor.
And there, we are being told at every turn to be skeptical of it, not just by Fergus and all that, but also by Lord John Grey, who doesn't trust this guy.
I mean, the contract of marriage, and Fergus points it out when he looks at it. It's like, well, assuming this isn't forged, what am I supposed to be doing about this?
Yeah.
But you are correct. There are a couple of pluses and minuses here. So, if Fergus were to pursue his claim without Beauchamp, Beauchamp claims that he has the only copy of this marriage contract. So it's the only basis on which Fergus could inherit.
Yeah.
So he is dependent on him to some extent, because like if Beauchamp felt like it, he could just burn the whole fucking thing
It's
if
true.
it's real. And even if it's not real, it's the only documentation that would support your claim to begin with. During these times, we've seen that lawyers are unsavory. We had what Pippin from Lord of the Rings being unsavory
Yeah.
previously. So there are definitely concerns and issues from an ability to verify these claims standpoint. So it's really very hard to tell whether he's legit the heir, but it does create the possibility of his being a target in some ways for Beauchamp and people associated with him. And Beauchamp, as we know, plays all sides.
Yeah.
He's kind of a creepy dude, but you don't know the level of creepy. He's a manipulator and a hoe, basically, but we don't know if he has other motivations or if he's violent and evil, that kind of thing in that way. So I'm hesitating to say, oh, Fergus should tell him to go fuck himself. But I think that's Fergus's instinct, is to tell him to go fuck himself. It's like, I don't need it. I'm fine. And no one's mentioned that he got some money from Jocasta as well. So
Oh,
like,
that's true. I mean, I guess, well, that's what they started the business with. So
well, but I thought they started in North Carolina.
I thought they did too. I guess
I'm
they're
so confused.
maybe what they did was they did start it there, but they have now opened up a new branch in Savannah.
Or they had to move for some reason that no
Yeah,
one's going
I
to
think that's
explain.
what they're trying to imply because they've never mentioned Savannah before.
And we would have noticed because this is a place that we are,
Even though
familiar with.
Savannah, other than Charleston, would be the closest port, but that doesn't matter. Because who cares about Savannah? We do.
But you know, Charleston's also would have been a major port during this period of time.
It also would be technically closer.
It would definitely be closer. So anyway, they did what they did. I honestly think some of this has to do with filming contracts. Georgia has a lot of film industry, and that's probably...
I don't even know if they filmed... They couldn't have filmed in Georgia.
I don't know.
I don't think they even filmed the North Carolina sections in North Carolina. I think they film it in Ireland or, like, somewhere.
Oh, that's no. Mm-mm.
Do they seriously film in North Carolina?
There's film some of it in the States. Where exactly? I don't know. And we can look that
there's
up.
There's no way they filmed it.
They are not... They certainly are not filming in downtown Savannah. That's for sure.
Oh, fuck no. They absolutely did not. And because it looks different. But obviously, like, we understand that this is supposed to be taking place in the 1700s. It would look different from what it looks like now. But, I mean.
There are things about Savannah that are still, that would be familiar to that time, though. And, you know, Savannah is used as a backdrop for a lot of historical movies and things like that. You know, they'll put dirt down on the streets or whatever. But what they are filming is definitely not here.
No, absolutely not.
So anyway, we can look up filming locations later. In the meantime, my feeling about it is I don't necessarily trust that Fergus is the heir. I think his instincts are good. I hope he follows them. So
I'm looking it up. Film Fraser's Ridge.
So while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about my...
It's in Scotland. Really? I knew it. Yes.
It's not over Scotland.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to leave the fucking UK, which is fine. You can do that. I don't have it pulled up right this second. Okay, I just pulled it up.
Fine.
They definitely have not been filming outside the UK. There's no fucking way. But it is impressive that Scotland can look like that.
Yeah.
But again, they could also just use...
Well,
I think there are plenty of opportunities for it to look...
All right, so let's talk best points. What are your best
points?
No,
it's not over, Mother Brianna.
It's so tiny.
No, it's not. We have something that we're mad about in this section.
Okay.
So Brianna goes and talks to William. And she shows up at the Grey household, and... Lord John Grey tries to make an excuse for her and William to talk, because obviously they're both in the know now. And
he understands, like, that they need to talk to each other.
Yeah, but things are also kind of weird with the widow noticing how pretty Brianna is and how happy
there's something going on.
William seems to be after to see her, considering what he knows now, and also considering they only met once before in passing. But it's very nice, and they get to talking, and it's a nice talk. Like, nothing really comes of it. He accepts her apology for not telling him, and he's like, no, I probably couldn't have handled it then, if I'm being honest. And but she also can feel that she doesn't mention this, but I think it's really implied that she understands how it feels to have had that kind of secret kept from her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's able to understand, like, how he flew off the handle afterwards and why that would feel the way it would feel. And so...
Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't realize my sound was on. Excuse me.
Or we could just pay attention. Anyway, they have this really sweet discussion, just kind of like making jabs back and forth of like, well, it's your family now. Even our family's crazy, but it's yours now.
And you're one of us.
Yeah, it's cute. Amaranthus, the widow, is jealous of Brianna, and
William thinks it's hilarious.
It is very funny. And she obviously doesn't find it funny, because she thinks that that's competition. And he's just like, she's my sister. She's the only other girl I know.
Right, right, Luke. But no, he is thinking, what he says is, like, I didn't want to reveal it because I'm actually a bastard.
Yeah, of this his own guy. Business.
You know, it's like, I'm not really the Earl. I'm, you know, I have this title, but it doesn't.
I also feel
I
like
feel like I own it.
I also feel like the jealousy arc thing for her was very fast. I was just like, you saw one interaction where he was like, "Oh, hello, I haven't seen you in years. How are you doing?" And then she's like, "Oh, he's in love with her." It's like, whoa, calm down.
And by the way, your husband is just dead.
Like, what are you doing?
A hot minute ago,
you have no right to be this territorial over your now cousin.
Well, and she's like, I thought you liked me. I thought we were, why don't you just marry me? You don't want to marry me?
Well,
like,
okay. There's,
she actually says this shit.
Well, kind of.
She says those words.
No. She says something about marriage, but we'll talk about that in a second. He's just like, well, what if I liked you? And she's like, well, what if I liked you too? I'm like, I'm sorry. You guys have already kissed at this point.
Yes.
Like, it's pretty clear what the emotions are.
It's not a what if anymore.
It's not a what if anymore. It's just like, I like you. And then she's like, wow, that's really bold. And it's like, not more bold than kissing him.
Which you fully threw yourself at him.
And then she's like, well, we could marry. Like, when he says something about, like, how he doesn't really want to be Lord Ellesmere anymore, which he had mentioned earlier in the season. But he's just like, oh, yeah, well, I'm the Earl and I can't resign. And she's like, well, what if we got married, had a child, and we got to retire into a private life. And he's like, whoa, okay.
That's fast.
Oh, and she says it so, like, nonchalantly. Like, oh, here's the entire future I planned out for us. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And not to say that she couldn't have been thinking of this stuff, but, like, your husband just died and you're talking about marrying his cousin.
Yeah.
You're talking about marrying your cousin-in-law.
I think she's trying to cover up for something. So,
oh, she has to be.
Right. So what she says, and she's like, oh, I just, here I am, the Viscountess of Grey or whatever the fuck she is. And I just feel like a title is, you know, something
pointless.
You have, not, it doesn't define who you are.
Yes.
That's what she says.
Which is a fine sentiment.
It's a fine sentiment for somebody who's the daughter of a bookseller in Philadelphia, but you aren't imbued with all of the lifestyle stuff that William grew up with. And, you know, his cousins did as well. So
that is not a fresh perspective for him to consider. It's
right.
Just, what is up with your behavior after your husband died?
Yeah, I think she wants something for her child or something.
But she already has something.
Yeah, I mean, some security in place. And
he has more than what he can give her.
He doesn't. So here's what I think she is afraid of. She wants to secure something before, and maybe Lord John Grey's covering for her too, before Lord John Grey's brother finds out that his son is dead and starts really looking into what's actually going on.
Yes.
Because I think she is afraid that he's going to be like, uh-uh, that is not my grandchild. That is not the title holder. It goes to
my other son. Tell him about anything.
Yeah. And of course, his other son is doing something else he wouldn't like. So whatever. But bottom line is that she is not in such a secure position as one might imagine. But of course, she's a little desperate too. And I don't think the desperation is warranted.
No, I
mean, why didn't you go back to your family in Philadelphia?
Literally, what was up with that?
Like, yeah, why did you go?
Because
to Lord
you seem
John
to
Grey.
Have had a great relationship with your father and your grandfather.
The way that you talk about them, yeah.
And so why couldn't you go back? Like, if you were like turned away, like that's one thing, but it seems
maybe
very
they think
bizarre.
You're a hoe too.
If what she's saying is correct, she is married.
Yeah.
Or she was married. So mm-hmm. I don't really see what the issue is. So mm-hmm. I'm confused. And obviously they're going to have some kind of reveal about her because she's been moving very fast and loose.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I don't know. I think that but I'm also concerned that they're trying to make this a romantic relationship that works regardless of the circumstances.
And that we like.
And I'm not liking
it.
No,
I don't like this.
Because it makes me feel icky.
I would never do that. So, like,
yeah,
I can't see, like, yes, it's inappropriate.
Imagine Francesca Bridgerton, like, instead of having, like, the big time jump you have in the book, after she has, like, lost her child, all that stuff, lost her husband, immediately going to Michael and being like, all right, well,
let's get
what
it
if
on.
we got married? And because it's essentially the same thing of like, yeah. Well, you have a title, so what, why don't we get married?
Yeah.
It's like, that's weird.
It is weird.
And if they didn't love each other so much and like had that like whole thing,
and
it would
years
be
and
weird.
Years and years of love.
And years of that, and yeah. years apart, and then year, time together again, like yeah. reacquainting themselves with each other. It would be weird,
yes.
but they're trying to like streamline this in a weird way that I'm just like, what is happening?
But guess
here?
What? Just like Francesca, they can end up in Scotland.
That's also true. Well, a lot of I don't think it's in Scotland. I think it's in England, but
doesn't mean they won't end up in Scotland. Because let's face it, he is Jamie Fraser's heir.
But I also hate that
and
this
he's the
episode
Laird.
Does not involve Ben at all.
Yeah.
That he has been like the focal point for this storyline for so long. Like, again, maybe he's alive. Oh, the tin soldier's found. No follow up on that. Simply, all right, well, I guess I'm going to marry his ex.
Well, no,
former
right.
wife.
The tin soldier means that he must be dead. Like, I don't buy
but he also,
that.
But he also does not mention the tin soldier at all in this episode. So it's like, okay, well, you can have the conflicting feelings of like, oh, she just kissed me and I found out that he probably is still really dead. And you can, but he doesn't express that to anybody.
No.
He doesn't tell Brianna about it, doesn't tell Lord John Grey about it, doesn't
no.
tell anybody. And so I'm just confused about why he doesn't do that.
Yeah, we were really liking this subplot before. Not
and
so
now it's shit.
It is. It's Outlander, so of course
I
it's
know,
good.
But I'm so disappointed.
Everything
I wanted
they
there
touch
to be,
turns to shit.
I wanted it to, this is what I wanted. I wanted for, I'm okay with him having a love interest. I don't think it should be his cousin's former wife.
Yeah,
I think that's weird. I think
or
it's awkward.
If it were different, right? Like if, I don't know. I think she's moving it too fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. It seems wrong.
Either she's moving it too fast or the writers are, and I don't like either one.
Whomever is doing it is doing it wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so best parts.
Fergus and Marsley, I like them. I like that they're back. I enjoy them as characters. Brianna and William, I like that they had that talk. Rachel and Ian, Ian in particular, with I'll Be By Your Side and
yeah.
all that stuff, it's very sweet. And also Rachel being such a trooper and being like, yeah, well, I'm going with you. This matters to you. And so it matters to our family. And so we're all going with you.
Yeah.
And Roger, I like that he steps up.
So, yeah, I didn't include Roger. His seemed like a very tiny subplot to me. Brianna and William, I really like their interaction. I like Lord John Grey giving Brianna time to talk to William.
Also, Lord John Grey and Brianna are just like, yeah, he needs to figure himself out.
Yeah.
I feel like he's so lost right now. And she's just like, well, give him time.
Yeah, I love Rachel and Ian. I think all of that and everything involving like Ian and Jamie and all that stuff, I think Ian is great. Fergus and Marsley, I agree. I love them together. I love the way they discuss this issue. And I like them being back in the fold. What were your worst parts?
Getting rid of Rob Cameron and bringing back William McKenzie.
William McKenzie is my first worst part for sure.
I am so upset with the wasted potential. It is a constant in this fucking show. And it is so bizarre to me because in the previously on Outlander before this season, a lot of Rob Cameron is shown. And so I'm like, okay, well, they're going to bring him back into the fold. Like, you could have gone one of two ways. You could have just completely discarded him as a character, not mentioned him again, or at least mentioned him for, like, a reason why they came back, but, like, not necessarily, like, anything major. But they really were setting it up like, oh, Brianna's talking about him. Maybe he'll come after them. Maybe there'll be a whole confrontation or whatever. That would have been so interesting to at least leave the door open and at least for a later conflict instead of it getting boring. And now they just completely closed that door and it's like, hey, remember William McKenzie, who no one cares about? Here he is again. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. Ignoring Ben entirely makes me so upset. Like, he was the most interesting part of this plot.
Yes.
And I think that completely ignoring him in this episode when they are expressing a mutual like of each other and her pitching this future for them without him mentioning once his like cousin once. is crazy to me. Of like, but aren't you, isn't this moving a little too fast for you? I feel like you just had your heartbroken, and you, this child is not mine, and like all that stuff. Not that that would ma really matter to William as far as the child's concerned, but like as far
Been
as the
there.
Ben is concerned,
Yeah.
like what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I mean, there's precedent in the family. Like, you can just marry and raise somebody else's kid. Like, yeah, Jamie's done that 1,000 times.
Lord John Grey did
Lord
it.
John
It's like,
Grey's done it.
but I also
Same
just
thing.
think that it's weird because that was his entire focus was I'm going to find out this information for you and for me to figure out what's up with Ben. He gets this one roadblock that he never talks about and is just like, okay, well, I guess I'm done with that search. I guess I want more than anything in the world for Ben to come back.
Yes.
Just to show up at the
Yes.
door for, oh, the drama would be amazing. He just shows up and is just like, Amaranthus? And that's my child? It's just like, that would be crazy.
Yeah, but I don't want her to be in William's bed at the time.
Oh, that would be insane.
Yeah, I don't think that would be okay. So I like the idea of him coming back, but I don't want William to be caught in the crossfire with that.
No, I don't. But that would also still make for really good drama. But
Yeah.
I want William to go back on like this
Be his
path.
own person. Let William be happy.
Yeah, and
Like,
that, and also I just kind of, that's why I was kind of iffy on the idea of him having a love interest this season because it would feel rushed, first of all. Second of all, it being this love interest is bizarre and weird, and I don't like that. They've made both of his love interests rather odd considering who they are in relation to him. So, what?
It's awkward. It's
It's
awkward.
awkward.
Any other worst
No,
parts?
that's all I wrote down.
Okay, my worst
Oh, and
part.
also Captain Cunningham is
Yeah,
weird.
Cunningham is definitely a worst part. So William Mackenzie, worst part, unnecessary, didn't have any. I agree with you. Rob Cameron would have been a far more interesting person to have come back from the future, but that didn't happen. Captain Cunningham sucks. There is kind of this weird, my notes are just very strange, but that whole thing with Fergus being the heir thing, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a second. I don't like William and Amaranthus, and especially how fucking strange she is being, and aggressively strange. But here's what I'm thinking may be happening is that the writers are sitting around going, hey, we've got a bunch of people who could be heirs to something. Wait, we can only do one of those plots because it might be too many plots. So we're gonna get rid of one of them in some cursory kind of way, and so we can focus on the other one. So what I mean by that is Ben's child being an heir that has a claim to something in the old country, and Fergus having a claim to something in the old country. It's like, yeah, we can't have both of those. That would be a little too simple, or a little too samey, samey. So we're gonna have to get rid of one of these plots, pick one. And I think they are just basically like flipping a coin, and what we're getting is the result of that, and it's shit. Because they're not doing either of them well. And I think that is really one of my biggest issues with this. Now, it may be that the source material, I think we've gone past the source material though. And that again has always been a problem. We've seen it with Game of Thrones, we've seen it with other shows that we've watched. They run out of source material, and guess what? Hollywood writers and or AI aren't as good because they don't take as much time. They don't really work it through. And we've had kind of shitty plots from actual authors as well, but a lot of times it's when they go off book, things get really, really weird and convoluted and multiverse-ish. And we are well past that in this, that we are so multiverse Outlander. And I know a lot of people like that. I just feel like we just keep recycling the same shit. So yeah, this was not great for me. What grade did you give this episode?
See.
I gave it initially a C plus because, of course, we were ending with like some Brianna stuff, and I like that. Well, we ended with Roger, but it was Brianna related, and I generally like where Brianna is in this episode, but for the most part, this is just garbage. So I knocked it down to a C after we started talking about it. I don't know where this is going. We have not yet watched more episodes. So I'm curious about how much they're going to fuck up the plots that we've been talking about. I'm sure you are too, right?
Yeah, I'm disappointed because again, like with the direction that a lot of these are going, like we figured out the Captain Cunningham thing pretty damn quickly of like he's not trustworthy, all that stuff. It's pretty damn clear where that was going. But then with the William subplot, we pitched some good ideas of where it could go, and then they're just completely ignoring the potential there.
Right.
And
The
then
far more interesting plot lines. No, we're
I
not going to
guess
do
what
any
they're
of
going for with Fergus and Marsley, I know where Fergus is going,
that. Yeah.
but which is
It's a
disappointing.
spoiler.
It is a
Yeah.
spoiler, but we'll not talk about it right now. I do know where he's going, but as far as Marsley's concerned, I'm not sure where that's going to put her in the grand scheme of things.
We'll see.
But then with Brianna and Roger, they're going to be on opposite sides of this battle, which will be interesting, I guess. I don't
Or maybe
know.
not.
Or maybe not.
We'll
Probably
see.
not. It's Outland.
Yeah,
They always find a way.
they do. A very neat, tidy kind of way rather than dealing with messiness. Although they create other messiness in the process and don't clean it up or clean it up in a way that is idiotic. So we don't know exactly how they're going to go about this. Maybe that's why we're watching. Maybe that's why you should be watching. Maybe for sure, or no, definitely. This is why you should be listening to us, even if you're not watching. So please, we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.